This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Those are the guys from South Park with their Oscar-nominated song Blame Canada from the South Park movie several years ago. And I play it because we're going to talk a little bit about Canada and the United States, and particularly one Canadian physician by the name of Danielle Martin, who's a family physician and vice president of medical affairs and health system solutions at Women's College Hospital in Toronto. Dr. Martin, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you.
I invited Dr. Martin on the show today because she recently appeared before a Senate committee that was looking into, of course, Obamacare and health care and comparing how health care works in the United States with health care in Canada. And she ran into one particular senator, a Republican by the name of Richard Burr from North Carolina, who really had some anti-Obamacare kind of questions and apparently didn't approve much of the Canadian system either.
On average, how many Canadian patients on a waiting list die each year? Do you know?
I don't, sir, but I know that there are 45,000 in America who die waiting because they don't have insurance at all.
As you can see, Dr. Martin wasn't going to back down in the face of a senator's tough questions, and this one too.
What do you say to an elected official who goes to Florida and not the Canadian system to have a heart valve replaced?
It's actually interesting because, in fact, the people who are the pioneers of that particular surgery, which Premier Williams had, and had the best health outcomes in the world for that surgery, are in Toronto at the Peter Munk Cardiac Center just down the street from where I work. So what I say is that sometimes people have a perception, and I believe that actually this is fueled in part by media discourse, that going to where something where you pay more for something, that necessarily makes it better. But it's not actually borne out by the evidence on outcomes from that cardiac surgery or any other.
Well, one would believe the American people prefer their system because they know consciously they pay more. No, I think it's because they judge quality and they judge innovation.
Yeah, there's a guy who's not going to see your facts, Dr. Martin. and since you talked about perception there, I'm curious, now that you've testified before Senator Burr and Senator Sanders and some of the others on that Senate committee, what's your perception of Congress?
Well, look, I wasn't brought to testify before the Senate to change anybody's mind, and I knew that. I understand and I respect that there's a pretty heated debate going on in America now about what your healthcare system needs to do in order to become more sustainable and more equitable, and it's not for me to tell Americans what to do. But I was asked, along with a panel of other people from a number of different countries, Taiwan, Denmark, France, et cetera, to come and speak a little bit about how we've tackled these issues in our own healthcare systems so that America can have the benefit of learning from international experience, including from the mistakes that other systems have made as you consider what to do. So to answer your question, what do I think? I mean, I think it's a political place, and it should be. That's, you know, how democracy works. And I think that it's a difficult thing in a 5-minute testimony or in an hour and a half panel conversation to really get into the details of healthcare policy. But I think it's pretty neat that I was asked to come.
How long has there been single payer care in Canada?
So it sort of evolved over, starting in the 1940s. And then really picked up speed in the early 1960s. In fact, just around the same time that your Medicare program in the U.S. was getting started. But the way that ours evolved, it was intentionally designed to cover everyone, not just people over the age of 65. It actually looks quite a lot like Medicare, U.S. Medicare. We have coverage for basically virtually all our residents, not 100%, but pretty close. And it covers all medically necessary physician and hospital services across the country. And then it's a province-based system. So it would be as though you might have a single-payer insurance plan in each of your states. And there's some variation in terms of what's covered from province to province on top of doctors and hospitals.
One of the criticisms levied at the Canadian system, as you heard in the questions from the senator there and from others who testified that day, is always about the wait times. Oh, sure, you can get free care, but you're going to have to wait 6 months.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's, first of all, let me say Canadian healthcare is not perfect, and I wouldn't try to characterize it that way either at the Senate or here or anywhere else. We're grappling with serious problems just as you are. And we do have a problem with wait times, but I think it's important for Americans to understand that the wait times we have in our system are almost entirely for what's called elective medical care. In other words, if you're, I mean, I'm a family doctor, I work in the system every day. If I have a patient who is seriously sick, people do not wait. And that is borne out by our outcomes for diseases like cancer care, cardiac care, et cetera, which are consistently as good or better on a population level across a whole range of diseases as the outcomes in the U.S. Our problem with wait times, and we do have a problem with wait times, is for things that, if I can say it this way, don't kill people, but are serious quality of life issues. So people who need a hip or a knee replacement, or in some parts of the country, a cataract surgery, might wait quite a few months to have that procedure done. And so the question becomes, you know, obviously that's not okay. Obviously it needs to be worked on, it needs to be fixed. The question is, how do you go about doing that? And what I was trying to explain to the senators that day is that our approach in Canada has been to look at how we can better reorganize the resources that we have in the system to shorten those waits, as opposed to moving towards a multi-payer system in which some people would have better access than others based on their ability to pay. That's not a concept that Canadians are comfortable with. And so we're working on tackling the wait times issue in a way that's equitable for everyone in the population.
I know that Australia had a similar problem, and they did go to a multi-payer system where, again, as you point out, if you have the money, you can get the care much faster. How did that work out?
So, in fact, it's a really interesting case study because their system did, Australia's system did look quite a lot like Canada's before they moved to a multi-payer system. And when they introduced private insurance and people who were wealthy enough began to purchase private care, what they found was that wait times in the public system got longer. And that sort of stands to reason if you think about it. There's a limited number of doctors, nurses, and other human resources in the system. And so when some of those resources move into the private system to serve the wealthy, wait times are, they'll get really short for people who can afford to pay for it, something that I think Americans are familiar with. For those who can't afford to pay for it, they're going to wait even longer. And that's not a solution that Canadians are comfortable with. So we prefer to try to tackle the wait times issue in terms of trying to understand what are the things that cause wait times, how can we make sure that we have the right people waiting for the right care being delivered by the right provider. And we've been managing to make a dent in the last decade in some areas, and in other areas where it's been harder to bring the wait times down, we're trying to study it to understand what else we can do.
And by the way, wait times are not something foreign to Americans either. If you need to go see a doctor and you're not a patient of that doctor already, it can be 4 to 6 weeks before you can get an appointment just to go in for your first checkup with that doctor. So,
right. So, I mean, all healthcare systems have their limitations. And I think the other thing that some Americans may not realize about the Canadian system is there's a lot of conversation about this question of choice. So, you know, what's it like to live or work in a system where you can't choose your insurance? Well, it's true that you can't choose your insurance plan in Canada because everyone's in the public insurance plan. But you can choose any doctor, any hospital, because there's no such thing as an in-network or out-of-network provider. The network is the province, and in fact, it's the country. So, you know, in the case of the cardiac surgery example that we discussed at the Senate, if there's somebody needs a minimally invasive heart valve replacement, you may not be able to get that in Newfoundland, which is a pretty small place, but your provincial insurance plan would pay to fly you to Toronto and have your procedure done in Toronto. So, in some ways, you don't have as much choice when it comes to your insurer, but you have a whole lot more choice when it comes to your provider of care. And I actually think that's what people value more.
I only have a minute left here, but I'm curious, since you're in Toronto, it's only a couple of hours from there to Buffalo. Do you have patients sneaking across the border from the U.S. to get care there and vice versa?
Yeah, I think the data show that there are some people who go across the border in both directions. The numbers are not huge, and of course there's some flow of providers as well, and the numbers there are not huge either, of doctors and nurses and others kind of going back and cross back and forth across the border. Look, I mean, it sort of stands to reason. We've got everything else going back and forth across the border. It's a pretty economically integrated North America that we live in.
Yep.
But I don't view that as a rejection on the part of Canadians or Americans of our countries. I just think that, you know, people make personal individual choices sometimes about what they want to do. And ultimately, we should each be focusing on building the best possible healthcare system that we can in our own countries for our own citizens.
Dr. Danielle Martin, family physician, vice president of medical affairs and health system solutions at Women's College Hospital, and also an assistant professor at the University of Toronto. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend. America Weekend.